What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It is Mercules here, bringing you the 90th episode of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode here for you tonight. We're going to be talking about the Festival of the Lost and how much fun we're having. And we're also going to do a quick massive breakdown of the Strike exclusive weapons that showed up with Forsaken. So there are going to be five of those that we're going to talk about. Should be a pretty quick episode. And as such, we're going to hop right into it. As always, like I said, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing tonight, Kit?
Mercury's doing fantastic, man. Excited to talk about these guns and about Festival of the Lost, and ready to dive right in. How about you?
I'm doing pretty great. I have the entire night off. My girlfriend has a friend in town, so she's going to be out, which means I'm going to be recording this podcast, editing this podcast, and then plan all sorts of Destiny for the rest of the evening. I've already got my claws into a little bit of the Shattered Throne earlier today, which was pretty great. And I'm going to play some Gambit later on. I'm going to do the Spooky Forest. Looking forward to that. Been really enjoying that. And speaking of that, Festival of the Lost, I would say so far has been a pretty raging success, especially compared to past events, but not even that, just in general. I think this is a really great event, especially now that we've gotten to play it. The masks are great. For once, the content that's in Eververse is fantastic. The fact that we don't have to pay real money for it has almost convinced me to pay real money for it. Because I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, I could just grind for this, or I could just pay for it. And that's the type of thinking that you want your customers to have for microtransactions. And the Spooky Forest is a ton of fun, too. So
yeah. Yeah, no, the Haunted Forest has been a real blast to play through. I love that they have taken the masks and made them not entirely cosmetic. They actually give you a choice that affects the way you play in the forest, but doesn't take away from the fact that you can still pick whatever mask you want, which is why I am the Colonel with Winged Terror, and will forever be the Colonel with Winged Terror.
Yep, I also have the chicken mask. My only other alternative right now is Master Rahul, and I absolutely will not accept that. I put that mask straight into the vault, so I'm actually trying to save up right now for Horror Story, which is basically the origin story, but redone with a kind of spookier theme. I believe it's got Zen Moment and Rampage.
Yep.
It's still a 450 precision auto rifle. We're going to tack a quick breakdown onto that one. It's a pretty good gun. I mean, 450 auto rifles aren't supremely powerful right now in the Crucible. You're just not going to be able to compete with the majority of pulse rifles. People are going to outrange you, and I don't necessarily know if they kill fast enough to counter shotgun rushers, but they are still pretty good as far as autos go. I really like the precision autos, and if you liked Origin Story, you're basically gonna like this one. That's pretty much the moral of the story.
Yes, yes, that's damn, yeah, it. That oh boy. Well, we're gonna just leave it in there and roll with that. But yeah, the Horror Story I think is a cool weapon to chase and add to the collection. I like that it just drops with the curated roll, masterworked, ready to go. The perks feel like they're going to be a really good fit. I haven't got this one yet either, but it's one of the many things I want to grind for this weekend, and we'll just see what actually gets done and what doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, Zen Moment, Rampage, Flared Magwell, I mean, it's kind of fixing all the things that that need fixing on a precision auto rifle, giving you some extra damage, better reload, heck of a lot more stability. I mean, you can't complain. And then it's got that red dot microscope. Do I recall that's a scope you're a fan of, or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like most of the Nadir, the new scopes, but the red dot micro is one of the ones that I do like. It's one of the less short zoom. It's not like an iron sight, but it's also not a long scope. So I would take that one. It's either that or the red dot MOA, and it's got the micro on it, so I would definitely go with that one. But the fact of the matter is, Zen Moment is a tier 1 perk for auto rifles, especially on console, and Rampage is also a tier 1 perk for auto rifles. So it may not be like an absolute god roll, but it's about as good of an auto rifle roll as you're probably going to get in Forsaken. So
yeah, absolutely. And speaking of, I mean, let's, I guess, briefly while we're on it, talk about mods for it. For me, I think my mind first goes to backup mag. When you've got Zen Moment and Rampage, why stop shooting? That's kind of my first thought with that gun.
Right. I would probably use targeting adjuster. It's got really shit aim assist,
It
if I'm just
does.
being honest. It's got terrible, terrible aim assist. All the rest of the stats, especially for the archetype, the stats across the rest of the board are pretty great. It's got a little bit lower range than you'd like to see. It's 61, and we normally expect 65, somewhere around there for the precision archetype. Stability is 46, which is par for the course. Reload speed is 47. Handling is 43. Recoil direction is 73. Remember, it is a precision auto rifle, which means you basically are not going to need a counterbalance mod on. It's going to be pretty much straight up and down. But that aim assist is 35, which is straight up terrible. I believe it's like second or third worst. It might actually be the worst out of all the auto rifles. So you're definitely going to want to try to probably stick a targeting adjuster on there. Is what I'm going to do when I get it. I'm going to slap a targeting adjuster right on it, take it into the crucible.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, and I guess that's maybe the difference. If you're going Crucible, I think you might have a strong argument there for PvE. I'm still gonna stick with the backup mag, but I'll have to think about what I want to do with that gun when I get a hold of it.
Yeah, and we've made mention before that the things you're looking for PvE are things like reload speed, increased magazine size, increased damage, right? The things you're looking for PvP are increased stability, increased aim assist, increased range, increased damage, right? Like,
Yeah.
you don't really need range in PvE, you don't really need stability in PvE, you don't really need aim assist in PvE. Like, those are all PvP specific, attributes. Whereas things like reload speed and mag size are very, very important for PvE, more so than they are in PvP. So you're kind of looking for two different things, and you can see that dichotomy right there. But yeah,
Yep.
so that's Horror Story, and hopefully I should have it by the end of today if all goes well.
Oh, there you go. All right, well, we'll look forward to a report on that next week.
Yeah. Speaking of things horrible, we've got Horror Story, and then the first Strike exclusive we want to talk about is Horror's Least, which is a little bit of a strange name, but it actually comes from the Corrupted Strike.
Yep.
It is a 540 RPM pulse rifle. The only other one of those, of course, is the Iron Banner pulse rifle, which it's Claws of the Wolf. I was a huge fan of Lincoln Green prior to the most recent Ballant patch. I really thought that rapid fire pulse rifles were in a pretty good place. In the current state of the Crucible, I'm not 100% on them. I've heard tell that on PC they're fantastic because they have almost no recoil. However, the problem I have with them on console is that they do have terrible recoil.
Yeah.
And they're so close to on the edge of their time to kill that you need 9 crits to get the perfect time to kill, and that is not going to happen. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen on console. Like, the recoil is too high, the range is too short. Like, the rate of fire is too fast. You are not going to maximize rate of fire within the optimal range and hit all 9 headshots, which immediately takes that pretty good optimal time to kill of 0.8 seconds and pushes it up to, I believe, like 0.97 seconds or something like that. It's actually, yeah, I think it's 0.97 seconds or 1.0 seconds. It's somewhere around there, which would be the slowest time to kill for pulse rifles. And that's already if they're at 6 resilience or below. If they're over 6 resilience, you're already not going to kill them in 9 headshots anyways. So to me, that's just like way too many variables to have to deal with. And basically, you can count on this weapon to be a 4-burst kill. And the problem is I can count on my bygones to be a 3-burst kill. And the 3-burst kill is a couple frames faster and much easier to hit and at longer range, and I don't have to worry about, resiliency level. So that's the reason why I don't recommend the rapid fires. Again, that's coming from a console background. I've had multiple people tell me that's totally fine on PC. But this gun, as far as stats go, like all rapid fire pulse rifles, its stats look terrible across the board. 34 range, which is actually second best in class behind Darkest Before for rapid fire. So it's looks terrible for pulse rifles in general, but for rapid fires, it's not bad. Stability is 49, which is, I'd say, average. Reload speed is 35, also average. Handling is 22, which is terrible, the worst among all pulse rifles. Aim assist is 82, which is great, the best among pulse rifles. So that's pretty nice. Recoil direction is 55. You're definitely going to want to slap a counterbalance mod on it. Mag size is 36, which is great, as far as it goes. But so what you're trying to play into here is you've got great aim assist, and if you're perfect, you have a great rate of fire and you have a lot of shots. It's just, it's not enough for me. I will say that the curated role does come with Zen Moment Outlaw, which is, pretty good, because Zen Moment you're definitely going to need. Zen Moment is every bit as functional on pulse rifles as it is on auto rifles, which is something I really love about it. Outlaw is going to be nice because, like I said, you don't really have a fast reload speed. In terms of random rolls, you can get Dragonfly, you can get Kill Clip, you can get Moving Target, you can get Full Auto, Headseeker, Rangefinder. Like, it's got fantastic perks. So what I've been telling people to do is same thing with Claws of the Wolf. Pick up a good roll, stick it in your vault, wait for a bounce patch. Because when a bounce patch comes through, like, the roll options on this gun are phenomenal. It's just the archetype itself isn't really great right now. And yeah, I've been killed by a few of them in PvP. They do cause an ungodly amount of flinch when you're getting hit by them, just because it's so many bullets coming in so fast. And they're so forgiving because the aim assist is so high that, like, I would definitely say that there's something to be said for them, especially at lower skill levels, in terms of the games where you don't have to rely on someone else. Like, you don't have to count on the fact that someone else is going to hit all their shots. So you have a little bit more leeway. You have a little bit more wiggle room in terms of what you're doing. There's definitely something to be said for using it down there. With how fast it shoots, especially with, like, full auto, it's basically an auto rifle that has a little bit longer range. But if you're going into high-level comp, if you're pushing for Lunas, I'd probably stay away from it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll basically just second everything you said there. I think you pretty much hit it in a nutshell. It's there's kind of like two different types of, like, the rapid fire pulse rifles. There's used to be Darkest before it was all by itself with the higher range and higher stability. Now Claws of the Wolf is kind of the same type of gun, and Horror's Lease is the other type, which has kind of lower range, and just some of the stats shuffled around. But for me, it just doesn't right now bring enough to the table. That said, still worth, you know, when that's the Nightfall, make a couple of runs, see if you can get a good roll. You know, heck, I grabbed the grenade launcher, that we're going to talk about a little later on, and I hate grenade launchers right now. So, you know, that's, I guess that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, it's always worth collecting a weapon, even if you just stick it in your vault, especially now that you've got 500 vault spaces. Right, because at some point in time, a bounce patch will come through, and things that are not very good will be made better, right? And I'm not going to tell you that it's the worst weapon out there in the game, right? Like, there are some guns that I literally never get killed with. Like, when was the last time you were killed by, like, Valakaden?
For a lot of people playing against me, that would be yesterday. Quite a bit.
you use Valakaden?
Oh man, I love that gun. I love that gun to death. In Iron Banner, it's actually a lot of fun. There's all that fractional damage buildup, so.
Well, then I guess I have to pick another gun that I was going to say. I was trying to think of the last time I was killed by, like, some of these weapons. Like, I literally can't remember the last time I was killed by a Valakaden.
I don't take it normally into quick play, I'll say that. Or comp. But in Iron Banner, I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, what about the last time you were killed by, ooh, what's something that literally never gets used in Crucible?
Now you're worried.
What about like a high impact scout? All right, like those.
Okay.
Those, right. I feel like they started off like people were giving them a shot, and I can't remember the last time I got killed by a high impact scout.
Yeah, no, I haven't used one, and I don't recall dying to one anytime recently.
Right, like the way I judge weapons effectiveness in the Crucible, outside of my own experience and stats and things like that, is I look at how many times I get killed by it and the skill level of players who are killing me with it, right? Like, Telesto right now, I get killed by fairly regularly, but when I look at the stats of the players that are using it, most of the players that are using it are relatively high skill level, which tells me that Telesto may be powerful, but at lower skill levels of gameplay, it's not overly prevalent.
Yeah.
Which probably is because it's a fusion rifle and it requires charge time. However, there are things like Ace of Spades. I get killed by Ace of Spades a lot. I look at the people who are using Ace of Spades, and it's all across the board. Really good players, really bad players. It's effective in both groups of hands. That means Ace of Spades is a very powerful gun. Right? Like, same thing with Bygones. I get killed by Bygones a ton. Low players, high players. A really effective gun. Horror's Least, I get killed by it every once in a while, but never by really good players. And usually it's me getting cleaned up like after an engagement or right, like I'll die to something where I wasn't engaging with the person, I'll die to it, and I'll be like, oh, what was that that killed me? Oh, it was a horror's lease. That's interesting. I almost very rarely see that, right? But that's better than like, Talons of the Eagle, which I have literally never been killed by, which is the Iron Banner high impact scout. I've never literally once heard of it. So that means that low skill players aren't using it and high skill players aren't using it, which is bad, right? So Horror's Lease is above that level, but it's not at Telesto level. It's not at Bygones level. It just isn't as bad as it could be.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I until we started setting up to do this episode, I had no idea what Horror's Least was. If you said, "Hey, let's talk about the Horror's Least," I'd have been like, "Okay, cool. Let me look that up."
So, moving on from that, another gun that also probably very few people have actually heard of is the Warden's Law, which, interestingly enough, is its own unique. So this is what's funny. So all five of the strike exclusive weapons have a different intrinsic perk in the database than what most weapons' intrinsic perks are. It's listed as an exotic intrinsic. However, there's only two of them that it actually functions differently, right? Like Horror's Lease is a rapid fire, but when you look in the database, its intrinsic is listed as exotic intrinsic, but it's still just deeper ammo reserve, slightly faster reload when magazine is empty, right? Like all rapid fires. Warden's Law, on the other hand, is aggressive exotic intrinsic, but it's a hard-hitting two-burst weapon. Now, the way this weapon works is it actually has barrels top and bottom, and it fires two shots in the exact same frame. So it's not really a burst. It fires two shots at once, and they go directly above one another, right? So you're actually going to probably need to aim a little bit lower than a normal hand cannon to verify to ensure that both of those hit in the on the head region. But the wonderful thing is that there's no recoil mid burst. Like they both go in the exact same spot, so you don't have to worry about that. That being said, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it does more damage because it's two shots, but again, like almost everything, that's for the most part a rounding error, right? Like it displays like it does more damage, but really it's a rounding error because a number was split in half, and then we use ceiling rounding in Destiny, so everything gets rounded up. So it's probably not actually doing more damage. It's probably doing the exact same amount of damage, but it displays as more. Which means, because of that, it's basically useless like all other aggressive hand cannons are in the Crucible, which is a shame. And it's also unfortunately bugged right now, to where fourth times the charm isn't working on it the way it should, which would have made it a really great weapon for yellow bar damage in PvE, because you would be able to hit two burst, and each burst has two shots, so you would get one burst back for every two burst you hit, right? Which would be really awesome. Unfortunately, it's not working that way. It takes three bursts to proc, so then it's not nearly as good, right? And when we know that it's working incorrectly, because triple tap is working correctly on it, where it only takes two bursts to proc triple tap, and it gives you the one shot back, but that doesn't really help as much. So, an interesting gun. I think we may see more of these archetypes in the future, but as of right now, and also for the entire history of Destiny, aggressive hand cannons just aren't what's in.
Yeah, I mean, outside of like literally, again, the only time that I would generally use this archetype in PvP is during the Iron Banner if I happen to, have gotten myself kind of over-leveled compared to the general population. Or at least if I feel that I'm sufficiently leveled that I'm going to get enough bonus damage for it to be worth my time. Which, I mean, is great. It's fun to be able to take a weapon like this out for a spin, in a scenario like that. But over time, that's not going to continue to be the case, until a new season, a new expansion, and a new power cap are upon us, and then you can bring it back. But in the meantime, yeah, unfortunately, it's PvE only, essentially. And I do like the damage that you get out of the aggressive hand cannons, and presumably, I guess, out of the aggressive burst hand cannons in PvE. Unfortunately, again, since fourth times the charm is bugged, that curated role is not going to be Not going to be as good until that gets fixed.
And I mean, it does come with great perk options too. If you don't get the curated role, you can get Kill Clip and Outlaw, which is always nice. You can get Range Finder and Opening Shot, which is great. You can get Rampage, Moving Target. Those are probably the perks that I would look out for. It's Kill Clip, Rampage, and Opening Shot are in one thing, so Kill Clip's definitely gonna be top of the line or Rampage. And then the next one, it's Moving Target, Outlaw, Range Finder.
Yeah.
Those are pretty great. Like you said, in Iron Banner, it's really great. If you are enough of a light level over, which is, what is the light level that gives you a 10% bonus damage? Is it like 20 light or something like that? I don't, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Remember that if you have enough light level higher someone to get 10% bonus damage, this gun will two tap on them, which is fantastic. It's basically like having a stack of Rampage permanently active. So absolutely, you know, if you want to do something fun and you're at light level 600, which verifies that you will never be underleveled to anyone, take it into Iron Banner, and anyone that's underleveled you have a pretty good chance of two tapping them, which is
Yep.
pretty great. And if you get Rampage up, you're basically guaranteed to two tap. You know, that being said, we'll talk about the stats on it really fast. It's, you know, the aggressive hand cannons have the same issue that the rapid fire pulse rifles do, which is just across the board, their stats are basically terrible, right? Like, stability is 29, which is bad. Reload speed is 27, which is god awful. Handling is 24, which is god awful. Aim assist is 68, which is like a little bit below average. Recoil direction is 97, but that doesn't really matter because it's a hand cannon, and you know, recoil direction, they're almost all like 88 or higher, right? Like, I think the worst one is 80. So
Yeah.
they're all almost completely vertical. And then the range is 56, which, while good, is actually not even that great for the aggressive archetype, where we have one sitting up at 68, which is the Duke. Criminal's Dagger from year one is at 64. So even stat-wise, it's not really truly tremendous, so.
Yeah, the only thing that really stands out about it stat-wise is I think the aim assist, which actually is, if you compare it strictly to aggressive hand cannons, is the highest in that class. But then again, you've got range that is actually I think the lowest. Yeah, the lowest in that class. So the interplay between those two stats is always interesting. But I think what that's gonna mean is that it might be more effective within its range, but you're gonna see that drop off sooner. So
Yeah, and that brings us on to the next one, which is the Long Goodbye. It comes from the Inside Terminus, which used to be a PlayStation exclusive strike, but because it was brought in with Forsaken, it is now a strike for everyone. It is an arc dealing sniper rifle, rapid hit sniper rifle. Sorry, no, adaptive frame sniper rifle. The curated role has rapid hit, range finder, light mag, and polygonal rifling. So as you know, the adaptives are right in the middle. We've got the rapid fires underneath them, like Twilight Oath. We've got the aggressives on top, like Bite of the Fox, and then we've got the Long Goodbye right here in the center. I'm not a huge fan of that role, right? Because rapid hit isn't super useful in PvP, because you're normally not hitting multiple precision hits, right? Like, if you get a precision hit, you kill someone. But Rangefinder isn't super useful in PvE, because why would you ever need Rangefinder on a sniper in PvE, right? Like, you're usually shooting at a boss that's stationary right in front of you.
Yeah.
So I'm not a huge fan of that. I'm actually just not really a huge fan of this weapon in general. Like, the random perks that you can get are fourth times the charm, which is nice for PvE. I will give you that for boss damage. Dragonfly, Rampage, Rapid Hit. Then you can get Outlaw, Firmly Planted, Snapshot, or High Impact Reserves. Like, really, the best perk that it has is fourth times the charm, and that's not going to work with Outlaw, because you're going to be using it on a boss where you're not killing the boss with a precision hit, so Outlaw doesn't help. Snapshot is nice for PvP, but none of those other perks, Dragonfly, fourth times the charm, Rampage, or Rapid Hit, are really great for PvP. So this is just kind of one of those guns that is like a best of both worlds, and by best of both worlds, I mean like the worst of both. Like, there's just not really a huge reason to use it. Now, you know, that being said, I don't want to completely talk down about the gun without discussing the stats. You know, they exist. It definitely does have stats. The range is 49, which is below average for snipers as a whole. It's even kind of below average for the adaptive archetype as a whole. Stability is 48, which is par for the course for adaptives. Reload speed is 44. Handling is bad at 40, which is a problem, right? Like for PvP, you would definitely want snapshot sights because 40 handling is not good. That's almost on par with some of the aggressives, like you know, the long walk has 35. So inventory is 43, which is relatively high. It's actually, that's probably its best thing, is that the inventory is higher, so you can carry a little bit more in reserve. And then the aim assist is 55, which is also bad, and only like six more than Dread Adventure, which again is an aggressive sniper. So aim assist is second worst, I believe, out of all the adaptives. I don't see much of a reason to hunt this gun down, really, other than just collecting in. I'm not sure what a balance patch could do to this to make it better, right? Like, even if adaptive snipers were to get better, this isn't like Horror's List, where it's a good gun for the archetype, and the archetype is bad. The archetype is fine for adaptive snipers. This is just not a good gun.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only place I really see this fitting in is if you're looking for a sniper to do boss damage and you want an adaptive for some reason. You can get a functional role. Like, you could say extended mag, high impact reserves, and either rapid hit or fourth times the charm, and you could do pretty decent as far as putting some damage on a boss. But that is like literally the only thing I see where it fits in as a possible like gun that I would actually use.
Yeah, but the problem is like a Twilight Oath with extended mag, backup mag, and triple tap can fire 10 rounds without reloading, right?
So yeah.
You're kind of hard pressed to beat something like that for boss damage. Plus you've got Darcy, plus you've got Whisper. Normally not going to want to double up on snipers. And again, it's got an exotic intrinsic perk, right? Adaptive, but it just says a well-rounded grip, sturdy and reliable. Like, I don't actually know what that does for it. So I'm sure there is some effect in there, right? Like, maybe it improves handling or something, but I haven't noticed it. I don't know. So if anybody has it and they could figure out what that, you know, intrinsic is supposed to actually do, please let us know, because perk wise and stats wise, like, it needs something to save it. So yeah. Maybe that exotic intrinsic does something magical, like quadruples the body shot damage to where you can just one shot people in the Crucible, but I doubt it.
Yeah, that would be deeply concerning.
It would always be funny to me if Bungie did something like that, right? Like, they know that people look in the database and look at guns, and they just like make the gun look like shit, terrible stats, terrible perks, and they stick something hidden on there that just makes the gun incredibly good, and like people ignore it because it doesn't look great, you know, on paper. And then, yeah, that's the thing. But so far, they haven't really done that, right? Like, at least I hope not. God, if we're ignoring some weapon that's incredibly good because on paper it looks terrible.
I mean, I feel like in Destiny 1 they did that occasionally, but not so far here.
Well, like how Thunderlord had Firefly every once in a while. But the funny thing is, if you look back at the Destiny reveal from E3, when they scroll over Thunderlord's perks, and the last perk, which is the electronic rounds or thunder rounds, says that it causes enemies to explode, which is funny. So the perk had it, the perk, its description was there, and for some reason they took that out to make it like a hidden thing, even though it was always supposed to do it. Which, by the way, I highly recommend you guys go back and look at that E3 reveal, because the way they did stats back then was so much nicer, right? So it would say, like, it was all on scales of up to 5 or 10 or something, so it was like 1 through 5. So it was like range 3, stability 4, magazine size 7 or whatever, right? It was all like a 1 to 10 scale or 1 to 5 scale. I don't remember what it was. But the perks would say plus 1 to range, plus 1 to stability, right? Like, instead of this blown out scale that's now 100 points where we don't know, like, it just says improved stability. Like, it actually told you how much it added on to stability and range. So that's from the E3 reveal way back when Thunderlord had like 12 perks and you had to like scroll over each individual perk. Yeah, so definitely take a look at that, because it's pretty interesting to see how things have changed.
Gosh, got me thinking back to when you had to unlock each perk individually by using the weapon and getting materials. Oh my gosh, such a different game.
Seriously, it was grindy as shit back then. People complained about this being grindy. Like, oh, I've only gotten... I've played... What is it, like... I forgot what the one I saw on Reddit today was complaining about. Like, oh, I got to level 600 and I haven't gotten a new Forsaken exotic. It was like, bro, in vanilla Destiny, not only would you not have gotten an exotic, but you wouldn't even be at max level right now.
Yeah.
Like, you think you'd be at max level in 4 weeks? Hell no. you would be forever 29 and still not have any exotics. Like, and not only that, but your legendaries would decrypt into blues too. So, and every time you got a gun, you couldn't infuse it, so you had to get a higher light level version of the same gun if you wanted to use it, right? And you freaking had to unlock every single perk as you played through the weapon. Like, you want to talk about grindy? Vanilla D1 was grindy. This is nothing compared to that. That's why it blows my mind to see people just constantly complaining, like, I don't have enough exotics. It's been a month. We got 2 more months before the next expansion even comes out. Like, you'll have the exotics by then. I promise you, Xur's gonna start selling them, and it'll all be fine. It'll be all right.
Oh, you actually have to pay attention to Xur again. Shoot, man,
Maybe one day, because right now he
that's
sure as hell
news.
don't.
Yeah,
Although I do check to see if he's got good rolls, like a good exotic like roll, since that's good. But goddamn, I wish they had 100% duplicate protection. Like, drop rates stayed as low as they are right now, right? I wish they had 100% duplicate protection and Xur sold glass needles, so that
yeah.
like you could re-roll your gun and they could take master of course or whatever. I really don't care. Like, make them expensive, but I wish they had duplicate protection. He sold glass needles. Even duplicate protection for weapons would be great. Or if they could make the weapons randomly roll the perks that aren't like the exotic intrinsics, like the barrel perks, the mag perks, if they could make them randomly roll those, it would make it better to get, a duplicate
Yeah.
weapon. But right now, there's no reason to get a duplicate weapon. Like, they have set perks. Like, I don't need this, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I feel like it might be interesting to see the exotics with different mags and not scopes, but like barrels and things like that.
I mean, even in D1, we had options, right? Like, they weren't random, but we had options.
Yeah.
But, they also learned the same lesson about D1, that they stopped giving us barrel mods that increased impact, because those things were like crazy. I remember, what was it? Aggressive, used to give a 10% damage bonus
Yeah.
back early on. It was like having a stack of Rampage up 100% of the time when you were using guns with aggressive on. It was so broken.
Yeah.
And then they finally buffed it, or they nerfed it down. Buffed it down is what it was. They finally nerfed it down to 5%.
Little double talk there. Yeah, we've buffed that 10% down to 2%.
Yeah. We've buffed it by negative eight.
Well, that takes us, I think, to the next one, the Mindbender's ambition. After
Which this
that,
one actually has an exotic intrinsic perk. So kills increase the rate of fire on it.
yeah,
Which is the aggressive intrinsic perk. It's hard hitting, high recoil, increases rate of fire after a kill, right? So like that and Warden's Law are like actually unique intrinsics. I feel like the other ones are supposed to be unique, but
maybe they took some text out.
yeah, but they just aren't, right? So like at some point in time, I'm going to get them and I'm going to test myself and I'm going to look for them. But like it's interesting that this one says it's unique and says what's different about it. But like a well-rounded grip, sturdy and reliable, like that literally doesn't tell me anything. I don't even know where I would start looking. Like, what do grips do? Well, grips affect oh God, what do they affect? Like the only grips we ever see are on exotic weapons, right?
Yeah,
So
I'm shaking my head because I don't know.
yeah, I got no idea either. But that being said, Mindbender's Ambition is probably one of the best shotguns in the game right
Yeah.
now. Like, even outside of that, it's an aggressive, which means it does a ton of damage, which means damage drop off doesn't isn't nearly as neg or isn't nearly as effective as it is on some of the lower damage shotguns. But it also, is just shit. It's a good weapon. Is just what it is. I know it's extremely popular. I've been killed by it a lot. It's got and the custom roll or the curated roll is so good. It has opening shot,
Yeah.
which is probably my favorite shotgun perk right now. And it's got rifle barrel and it's got rampage right now. That's not as good as like a full choke, accurized rounds one probably, but you can't get opening shot on any of the random rolled ones. So I would probably be looking for full choke. If you do get a random roll, full choke, accurized rounds. I'm going to go with slide shot and then rampage. And I think that's going to be stacked. But if you get that curated roll, oh baby, opening shot, max range on those first shots.
Yeah, I mean, this there's only two aggressive shotguns right now in the game that have random rolls. So there's really only two aggressive shotguns that I get killed by all the time. And I've started to see this more and more. Like, honestly, for me, like, that last perk slot, like, I would love to have Rampage on it, but you almost can't go wrong. Like, Quick Draw is going to be useful. Moving target isn't terrible. And then auto loading holster is the fourth perk, and that also is not terrible. Even in the Crucible, if you're picking up other people's special, it's going to load it for you, which honestly I think is the thing about shotguns that most often gets me killed is I forget that I haven't reloaded when I swap to it. So any one of those is totally playable. If you get the rest of those perks, if you get Slideshot, Accurized, and Full Choke, or even Rifled Barrel, like, do not delete that gun, or I'm gonna be mad at you personally.
Yep, and as far as stats go, its range isn't great even for the archetype. I mean, they did this thing which I'm not a huge fan of, but I will admit it was effective. But they, I'm trying to think. So what I didn't want them to do in D1 was decrease the range of aggressive or of high impact shotguns so much that rapid fire shotguns then came up to meet them. Right, like I always thought that rapid fire shotguns should still have less range than aggressive shotguns, right? And aggressive shotguns do more damage. So what ends up happening if you swap the range too much is that you have this weird area where aggressive shotguns and rapid fire shotguns kill at the same distance, but rapid fire shotguns do it much more quickly, right? And we are very, very close to being at that point right now. I think the aggressives can push it by like a meter more. Or maybe 2 meters more, based on some testing that some people have been doing. But like, there's a reason why you're seeing a lot of Dustrock Blueses out there. There's a reason why you're seeing a lot of Badlanders, a lot of Ikelos shotguns.
Even Parcel of Stardust, I've actually seen several
Yeah,
times the last couple
a lot of
days.
Parcel of Stardust, right? Because they have a faster rate of fire, and the trade-off is not nearly as drastic as it was in D1. In D1, it was like bad. Like if you swap down to a, faster firing shotgun, you missed out on a huge chunk of one hit kill range.
Yeah.
It's not nearly that bad now. So that being said, Mindbender's Ambition doesn't have great range. It's at 29. Stability doesn't really matter, but it's also at 29. Reload speed's at 39, which is par for the course for the aggressives. Handling's at 31, which is low on the low side. The inventory is at 40. The aim assist is at 39, which is actually the highest out of all the aggressives. Mag size is at 5. So, like all aggressive shotguns, it has terrible stats across the board, but it does the most damage. It does have the, the one hit kill range that you're really looking for. But, at this point in time, there is more to think about than just one hit kill range, right? Like, it's not nearly, especially an Iron Banner, right? If you're a level 600 in Iron Banner, there's no reason not for you to use like a Badlander
Yeah.
because you're going to be doing more damage per pellet, which totally basically like neutralizes the need to use an aggressive at all. In normal quick play, the auto shotties are just really powerful, man. Like on my quest for Luna's Howl, every single sweaty team that we run into is running auto shotties. But I do think Mindbender's Ambition still deserves to be named up there with the best, specifically because of its intrinsic perk and just because, I mean, it's got great rolls on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got fantastic perks. It's hard to argue with that, is at least making it something that you need to think about if you're going to take a shotgun out. Now, you certainly can, with rapid fires, do things like pre-fire from a greater distance to where you're not going to kill them, but the second shot will, and you can still get your second shot off before they get to one hit kill range. You burn a lot of ammo that way, but it doesn't matter if you're getting kills. That's certainly puts it in check. I mean, I see kind of what they did there. I still wish they would have balanced damage against magazine size a little more strongly, rather than doing what they've done here, which is kind of balancing range against damage. Yeah, I feel like that would have led to more interesting choices and sacrifices, but I'm not in charge, probably for good reasons, and this is what it is.
Yeah, my thought process was I thought they should have I would have made the damage less, like the damage difference less between the two. I still think that auto shotties need to have less range. The difference was like auto shoddies in D1, which weren't really a thing. But like that class of shotgun, the really fast one, right, was only able to kill like inside of melee distance with one hit kills. And whereas you had a Fellwinter's Lie, which could push past a dozen meters pretty easily with rangefinder and shot package and stuff like that, right? So you were getting more than double the one hit kill range. And now it's a little bit closer, and by a little bit closer, I mean it's very, very close now, right? Like it may be a few meters less. And I haven't tested this myself. It actually is something I'm looking to test very, very soon, because I want to know the exact numbers, right? But like it is much, much closer now than it was before. And my thought process was that it still needed to be far, but not like double far, right? Like I'm talking like 6 meters as opposed to 8 meters or whatever it is, like 5 meters as opposed to 7 meters. Because you're going to run into the problem that you have now, which is where the rate of fire is so fast on rapid fire shotties that you can pump two rounds out. And even if you don't get the one hit kill, you can just massacre someone so fast, right? That at high levels, they are seeing extreme amounts of use because they shoot twice as fast as a Toil and Trouble does. And I mean, if you miss the first shot with Toil and Trouble, you're going to die. Like, you are not going to survive if you miss that first shot. With something like Badlander, it doesn't matter if you miss your first two shots. Like you'll get a third one out before they can even react, probably. So
I definitely see a lot of Ikelos. I like to take Perfect Paradox out once in a while. I mean, there's a lot of choices in the rapid fires if you want to go back to year one of Destiny 2. And then, of course, Badlander is all over the place at all levels. A lot of choices in the shotgun world right now. And a
it's
lot
a
of them,
shotgun game.
it is.
The maps were designed for smaller team sizes, right? Like 4v4. So with six people on them, it makes sense that you're going to see a lot of shotguns because people are always running into each other. There's a lot of corners to sit behind. Like my biggest thing is like I get hate mail all the time for using Telesto, but the fact of the matter is Telesto is the best anti-shotgun tool that exists right now. And if I'm going to load into a game where four or five or six people on the other team are using auto shotties, you can bet your ass I'm going to use Telesto. And like that's why it's so funny. I see a lot of hate in like the, I wouldn't say competitive community, but in the trying harder at Crucible PvP than most other people do community. Like Equinox gets a ton of hate, right? Because it's a longer range map and it's harder to use shotguns on that map. And like as soon as they got to put the shotgun away, they want to bitch and moan. Like, Equinox sucks. Equinox is a trash map. I love Equinox. Equinox is a fantastic map. I enjoy playing it all the time because I don't get shotgun aped all the time. You know what I enjoy using? Telesto because it's a shotgun ape counter. You know why people bitch about it? Because it cancels shotguns. You don't hear snipers bitching about Telesto because it's not super powerful versus snipers. You don't hear other fusion rifle users. Well, you may a little bit. But like I can counter Telesto with an Aaron Toll. I've been countered because Telesto obviously has a delay, right? So the problem with Telesto is that you fire it, you have to wait a second before the person dies, which with a fusion rifle is usually enough time for them to kill you too. So at the very least, you trade. But you hear a lot of shotgun people complaining about Telesto. It's because it counters them. People have enjoyed getting their shotguns back in their hand, and anything that takes that shotgun away from them or makes it less effective is going to be bitched about. But I'm just here to caution you guys, like, you nerf to left Telesto, you take Equinox out of the map rotation because it's too big, we're gonna end up in the exact same position we were in D1, where like shotguns run rampant-ish now, but it is nowhere near as bad as it has been in the past. Like, not even close. So just be careful what you complain about, right? Like, next time you bitch about Telesto, think about how much different the game would be if there was no counter to shotguns and all the maps were small and the game was literally six people on each team with shotguns. Right? Like, that's something I do not want to go back down to.
No, let's not go down that path. Let's not enter the darkest future, the darkest
Yeah,
timeline.
that's That's Mercury's timeline where Saint 14 is dead, and that's dude. He had Perfect Paradox. He was a shotgun ape too, and even he couldn't survive in that timeline.
Yeah,
it was just, and it was an auto shotty as well. Good God, he was a meta whore even back then.
Yeah, he knew,
or in the future, wherever he is.
He knew the future, all that time with the Vex. So, well, that's Mindbender's ambition and a whole lot of other stuff as well.
Yeah. Next up is your favorite gun.
Here we go. A Malicious Birthright. This is the only strike exclusive I have right now, and it's the one that I want at least, but hey, what are you going to do?
How are you going to run a 3-grenade launcher loadout if you don't have this weapon?
That's a fair question.
You can run this, Fighting Lion, and play the game, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
And I say that, but people actually are doing that, and it's really annoying to play against, especially if you run into a 4-man in competitive who are all running triple grenade launchers. I don't know if there's ever been anything more annoying in the entire world other than that hardcore shotgun.
I mean, total props to anybody who can do that. I keep trying to get good at Fighting Lion, and then I keep putting it away after a couple of games of 0.5 and 0.8 KDA. But the Malicious Birthright is a grenade launcher from Lake of Shadows. It is a lightweight frame, again, exotic, intrinsic, but I didn't notice that it had anything unique about it. Just a one-shot grenade launcher, remote detonation, hold the fire, release to detonate. As far as
I think the only thing that's unique is that it's a kinetic, right?
Like, I suppose.
I guess that's maybe its exotic thing, is that it's a kinetic.
Yeah. I guess that is sort of an exotic perk. Unfortunately, it makes the curated role kind of weird, right? Because the curated role is countermass blinding grenades, which is actually, you know, pretty decent for PvP, and then Genesis, which is doesn't make any sense in PvP and doesn't make any sense in PvE on a kinetic. I mean, it still reloads it.
But who cares, right? Why would you ever use a kinetic against shields?
Right, exactly. It does less damage, and really what I want is to just regenerate ammo. Like, I want the second part of it, so. Yeah,
it's like you're wasting a shot to break that shield, and then it just reloads the magazine for you. But you could have used that shot on something better.
Yeah,
like, it's a total waste on a grenade launcher.
Yeah, I mean with blinding grenades, if you're in PvE, I'm just going to be shooting a group and then mowing them down with something else. Like I don't know. It's weird. And then threat detector, which
trash.
Yeah. So the curated role is kind of odd. I don't know what else to say about it. I don't actually feel like this gun has a whole lot of great roles to begin with. The only thing about it that stands out to me is that it is kinetic. It can get proximity grenades, which if you're going to take it into PvP is really what you want. It can get spike grenades, which is probably going to be pretty handy in PvE. I always like the extra damage. Other than that, yeah, I don't really have a whole lot of good things to say about it. Stat-wise, let's take a look at grenade launchers. And I don't think it really stands out here either. I mean, it's got a 55 blast radius, which is exactly what all of the lightweights have. 72 velocity, which is actually the lowest in the class. Stability is 23, which is also the lowest.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter, right? Because
it's a single
you're
shot.
Almost never firing multiple shots. The only way you can is if you get Ambitious Assassin and you get a kill, and then it puts two in the next time, right? And then the stability matters, but not really still.
I mean, if it instantly reloads it because you broke a shield, you know, that stability could... Anyway, moving on. Reload speed of 63, which is, again, the worst in class, and actually matters on a one-shot grenade launcher. Handling of 69, which is pretty much par for the course, and then inventory of 61, which is not quite the lowest, but isn't good for the class. 75 aim assist, which again is middle of the road. Mag size of 1, which is also average. So there's
I mean, it sucks because Genesis, Grave Robber, and Quick Draw all blow, right? So Ambitious Assassin is the only trait in the first slot that you can get on it that's going to help you out. And it's got rangefinder, auto-loading holster, snapshot sight, moving target. I don't find aim assist to matter a whole ton on grenade launchers. Just not using it that much. Snapshot sights, don't care about auto-loading holster. Rangefinder at least increases velocity. So I would probably go Ambitious Assassin, Rangefinder, and maybe auto-loading holster. But yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is this. Do you want to run a kinetic grenade launcher? If yes, use this.
Right.
If no, then there's no reason for you to run it. Like, the only reason for you to run it is you want a kinetic grenade launcher. And if you do, this is your only option, so pick it up.
Yeah.
If you don't use it. It's like that's as far as it goes.
Yeah. It's a super easy strike to farm. So you know, next time it's the Nightfall, you could easily knock out 4 or 5 runs in an hour, no problem. So more if you're actually good at the game, you know, I don't know. So that's it. That's the strike exclusives.
Yeah, there's 5 of them. I'm glad that they have random rolls this time. I hope that they go back and they update the other Nightfall gear to also have random rolls. That would be really fun. I hope that's the next thing they do. I mean, the unfortunate problem is that when I was at Bungie, like, you actually do have to make a new gun, right, to put random rolls on it. Like, the perk pools have to be manually created for each weapon, which is why not every single weapon got random roll counterparts right away. Because it's actually someone's job to take the gun and determine which pools or which perks can go in which pool and which slot. And in D1, it wasn't that hard because in D1, there was like a universal slot and they just attached it to the gun and it was like, everything in this pool goes here. And that's why you got so many shit rolls in D1.
Yeah.
In D2, they actually handcraft each perk pool for each gun to have a couple good rolls, a couple average rolls, and a bad, like a not great option, right? So the unfortunate thing that is every single gun they want to make random rolled, someone has to sit there and go through and do it, right? Which is a problem. And it's the reason why we don't have a ton of random rolled weapons right now. But I'm hoping in the future they're going to start adding more and more of them back, because it's an easy way to expand the you know, the weapon size, the yeah. loot size.
Yeah, adds more chase guns. The hardest thing about hearing that for me is that somebody chose this perk pool for the Malicious Birthright. And I kind of want to know why they made these choices, but it is what it is.
Probably because they knew that it was going to be the only kinetic grenade launcher, and they were like, if we make it good, it's going to be the only thing people use.
Yeah.
Right? And we can't do that, so we have to give it kind of meh perk options. Like, you know, once there are more kinetic grenade launchers, I'm assuming we'll see some with good rolls because it won't be so special this time, right? But yeah. If it's the only thing and it's also good, it becomes the only thing that gets used.
Yeah. Well, Lord forbid. But I think that that about brings us to the end of yet another Massive Breakdown podcast. I did want to mention briefly at the end here, we're doing some updating on the Patreon, working on some new things for those of you who choose to support us that way. And just want to throw a reminder in here at the end. We've got a poll up for the new shirt that's going to be designed, and we'd really love your input. So if you can take a minute and think about it and share your thoughts on what you'd like to see, we'd love to hear from you. And just thank you again to everybody who supports us by listening, by donating, by using our work, by sharing our work, all that stuff. That's why we do it. So,
All right, guys. Well, that's it for me. I'm gonna go ahead and get on some Destiny, play some more Gambit, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Word. Peace.